Kirk signal's going out. We will get him back in a moment, but welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols, alongside, indeed, the host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe. I can't do the pause like you do, Zach. No one's Zach Lowe. That's really the answer to this. Coming up, we're going to talk about Nikola Jokic dropping a career-high 47 points last night against the Jazz, snapping their 11-game winning streak. Did Jokic's performance change the MVP race? We will discuss that. But first, there are very few things you can count on in the NBA, but here's one. When a team is up by five or more with 10 seconds to go, they usually win. And when I say usually, I don't mean like two-thirds of the time or three-quarters of the time. I mean that over the past 25 years, there have been more than 23,000 times the teams have been in that position, and in all but nine, the team that's ahead has gone on to win. That's an insane stat. You know, you could drink a cup of coffee every single morning, 365 mornings a year, and after 60 years, 60, you still would not hit 23,000. All of which makes what happened this weekend all the more absolutely bananas. First in Chicago on Saturday night, it was the Bulls who are up by five with 10 seconds to go, and Dame Lillard hits this 37-footer. Which is incredible. But at that point, the Bulls still should have gone on to win the game. They've got possession with 8.9 on the clock, except then Zach LaVine gets tied up in the corner, and then it becomes a jump ball, which finds its way to Dame, who hits this off-balance step-back fadeaway three over seven-foot-tall Larry Markkanen, and I'm sorry, what? I know we are all used to Dame time in the clutch, and I know we are used to Lillard being able to hit it from anywhere, but come on. This was just ridiculous. Here is how his teammates greeted him afterward, and even Lillard himself recognized this was different.
These situations where, you know, we down five, I think, with 11 seconds left, you know, those are the moments where the winning team thinks that, you know, they got the game pretty much wrapped up. And the opposing team is discouraged. But, like, this is one of those ambitious moments that, like, that never happened. You know, it never comes to life. But, you know, this time it did. So I think because of that, it's, you know, this is going to be a special one.
Yeah, just nuts. But little did we know, we were going to watch it happen again less than 24 hours later, this time in Brooklyn, where the Nets appeared to be comfortably cruising. First half went up 18. But then Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook went to work, combining for 37 points in the fourth quarter alone, with Russ in particular looking more comfortable than he's been all season, putting up a 41-10-8 line. And yet, even after the Wizards closed the gap, the Nets were still up by, yes, five with 10 seconds to go, the same position that more than 23,000 times teams had gone on to win it. Except once again, the math flew out the window. First, it was Beal sprinting up court for this three. Just money. Then when Joe Harris tries to inbound, yeah, doesn't go well. KD goes to a different spot than Harris is expecting. Garrison Matthews comes up with a steal out to Westbrook, who hits another three with 4.3 on the clock. Washington then goes on to win a game that Coach Scott Brooks called, quote, the craziest finish he's seen in his 28 years in the NBA. Here were the Nets afterward.
We had that game. It should have been ours, so you know, we just look at ourselves in the mirror and just see where we can correct as individuals and as a group, you know, just especially on the effort. You know, I couldn't guard a stick today. You know, those guys were just going right around me and, you know, I was getting frustrated a little bit.
Maybe we thought we had it in the bag, but, you know, too many times we let them waltz right down the lane and get layups. You know, I think we just let our foot off the gas, thought we were going to win, and that's a dangerous game to play.
Certainly, Brooklyn needs to figure it out on defense. In the nine games since the Nets made the Harden trade, opponents have scored 123 points or more, seven of those nine times. But if I'm the Nets or the Bulls, I wouldn't read too much into either of these games, considering just how rare the outcomes were. Just nine times out of more than 23,500, twice in one weekend. I'm going to need more coffee. So, Zach, what did Russ prove to you last night against the Nets?
First of all, props to the graphic department for the Ferris Bueller reference that nobody under 30 will get. I love it. Second of all, Russ proved he's still got something in the tank. And really, although he had been averaging almost a triple-double, his turnovers had spiked. He just hadn't looked good. He almost looked like he had the yips. He was losing his dribble so much. And the Wizards are going nowhere. Yeah, they've been ravaged by the virus and the health and safety protocols. They've had half their team gone. Everyone's coming back. But they're not getting back into the play-in race unless they get peak Russell Westbrook. And one thing I did not expect at this point in the season was for the Rockets to have so handily won the John Wall-Russell Westbrook trade. But that Russ, the Russ that played last night, that changes the Wizards' season. That gives them a little bit of hope. And frankly, that maybe puts any Bradley Beal stuff on the back burner for a while, because that's something that could literally swing the championship picture.
And do you think, Zach, that this kind of Russell Westbrook is someone that we can see for the rest of the season with the Wizards? What changed for him here?
I mean, last night's performance is probably going to be an outlier in terms of its shooting efficiency, the three-point shooting efficiency, all that. But there's a big, big gap between that guy and the guy who had played the first 12, 15 games, whatever, of the season. If we can meet somewhere in the middle and Russ can just become a steady presence, something like not quite what he was even the last. People forget the last 30 games before the bubble with the Rockets, he was on fire. He was averaging 30 a game, living at the rim. If we can get closer to that guy, the Wizards, if they get healthy, they have a really good offensive team, or at least a skeleton of one. They can get back into the play-in race. It has not gotten away from them.
And you know, after that game, Zach, Scott Brooks said he was going to break out the White Claw. And in fact, he said raspberry was his favorite flavor. I don't know. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, We've just got to be able to do better. I didn't even know what a White Claw was until I moved to the suburbs. And everyone in the suburbs, all my mom friends in the suburbs, are all about the White Claw. We have to keep White Claw on hand in case we have visitors. Scotty Brooks, look, I love you, Scotty. Have a beer. Have a real beer. Celebrate with a real beer. Pour it in a nice big glass. Unless he gets an endorsement deal out of this, I take it all back. If he becomes the face of White Claw beverages among middle-aged men, I take it all back.
Maybe this is just the beginning of something beautiful, Zach. We will see. All right, we're getting Kendrick Perkins back. So coming up after this break, we'll talk about Aaron Gordon and Kyle Lowry getting physical last night. Is there bubble beef to blame? We will discuss. Welcome back to The Jump. Let's head out west, where the Nuggets snapped the Jazz's NBA best 11-game win streak last night in Denver. Nikola Jokic matching his career high, 47 points. He also had 12 boards, 2 steals, 1 block. Oh, by the way, he went 4-for-4 from behind the arc. So Big Perk back with us. Did the Joker's performance Sunday change the MVP race at all?
Absolutely. Look, he jumps ahead of LeBron James. I think it's him and Joel Embiid MVP to be one right now. Look, I am just so happy that the big men are starting to dominate the league again, because for a minute they were going away, Rachel. And so when you look at what Joker is doing, this is a guy that is not athletic. This is a guy that don't run fast, don't move quick, but plays the pace of his game and gets the job done. And in my opinion, he's arguably one of the greatest skilled bigs to ever play the game. Greg Popovich said he's the modern-day Larry Bird, and guess what? He told no lies.
It's a little exhausting to do the MVP update day after day after day, but even forget last game. Nikola Jokic right now is the MVP of this season. And yeah, last night did matter. They blew out basically a team that was on an 11-game winning streak that looked unbeatable. And what was amazing about that game, if you watched it, it looked so easy. I mean, he just put up the most effortless 35-point half I think I've ever seen. Raining jump shots, little hook shots. Rudy Gobert is on me. Okay, fake. Hook shot goes in. It was so easy for him to dominate a team that had been on fire. And he's been, I mean, I think he's the best passing big man in the history of the league, period. And I think he is the MVP right now. But this is going to be one of those seasons, I hope, like 2017 when Russ won, when we have like a nice 3-, 4-, 5-man MVP race. I think it's going to get frothy.
Go ahead, Perk.
Hold on, Zach, but don't you just discount Joel Embiid right now, because he has the Philadelphia 76ers.
No, he's in it.
At an elite
he's in
level.
It.
And by the way, just a couple of weeks ago, he put up a 40-plus point night too now. So Jokic is just behind him right now and doing it at a later time. But we're not going to just say that Jokic is the clear cut, Zach Lowe, all right? We're not going to start that today.
It's going to be a great race, Perk. It's going to be a great race with lots of ups and downs. But right now, if you ask me to vote, if I had to fill out my ballot now, I'm putting Jokic one. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because guess what? We don't want you to vote because you voted for Giannis last year when Rachel and I was trying to tell you.
No. I voted for Giannis as well. I voted for Giannis as well, Perk. And it was close, but I will say, as I've said a million times, it is an award that right now rewards stats in a regular season. Giannis had historic stats, but it is time to change the MVP. I got to get that in one more time because, Perk, I am with you on that. It needs to be more about who the best player in the league is, and we need a separate award for best stats for this season.
Mike works. Mike's hot. Man, I'm good.
You're on, bro.
I didn't want to do it, but then I saw this backdrop. Someone went through great lengths to make that happen, so I felt bad not fulfilling my end of the deal. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Steph makes this. How much longer until you break Ray Allen's three-point record?
I mean, you're in the booth right now, so it's your job to know these stats to be able to do the quick math.
Bob, I don't know. What do you think? 40 games?
He's 400 behind Clay.
Shoot. Two seasons.
I'm waiting for you to say Speed Mihailuk right now.
Speed Mihailuk with the long loaf.
Shortbread and long loaf, Clay. Yeah. You may have added to the play-by-play.
Watch this. He's in there.
Shortbread.
Ah, he cashed it.
What's McGruder doing over there? There's a little scuffle.
What are you talking about, Juan?
Rodney McGruder.
Oh, no. This dude might be out the league soon. He's probably mad about that. Who knows?
Wow. Shots fired.
He's over here checking my guy. You good?
Five
over
Warriors.
Here trying to start something like he's a good player or something. It's like, bro, easy. Get out of here. You might be. Sorry. All right. We're done.
Easy.
We're done.
Amazing. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, still hanging out with Kendrick Perkins, Zach Lowe. I would just like to point out when we saw Clay interviewing Steph there, see, it's not so easy to do that job, Clay, okay? He was looking down at his notes. He didn't have the right numbers. I'm just saying. I will say, however, he completely redeemed himself with the colorful way that he described Rodney McGruder on that Warriors broadcast. That is keeping it real for the fans. And unfortunately for McGruder, Draymond Green also had quite a bit to say about McGruder after the game. Let's roll that as well.
Apparently he was taking up for Wayne Ellington. When the Rodney McGruder become the tough guy of the team? Like, I don't know, man. Everybody in the league tough these days. It's crazy. I've seen a lot of tough guys this year. I don't understand it. And don't nobody do anything. Also, I think it was something that Juan said in the first or second quarter to Wayne Ellington. You ain't got nothing better to do that you still thinking about something from the first or second quarter when you weren't in the game. So apparently, Wayne Ellington must have went over to the bench. I guess he went and told Rodney McGruder because he hadn't been in the game. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's too many tough guys in this league these days for me. But I know ain't nobody scared of no damn Rodney McGruder.
I don't even know what to do with all of this. I saw someone on Twitter afterwards said that should just be Draymond's Hall of Fame speech, and we're done. Zach, whose comments stung more, Clay or Draymond?
Well, look, if this is the price of getting unfiltered Clay Thompson, I'm willing to throw Rodney McGruder under the bus to get unfiltered Clay Thompson. I'm sorry. But I will say, this felt a little bit like bullying to me. Like, Rodney McGruder's just trying to fight and scrap for his NBA career, and Draymond and Clay are Hall of Famers, multi-time All-Stars. He let Rodney McGruder be. We don't need to go off for 5 minutes about... Did you see the Warriors broadcast put down 5 minutes per game in four games this season? Even the Warriors broadcast got into bullying Rodney McGruder. Poor guy. My God.
Well, I'm going to say this. I don't applaud it, and I don't like it. To me, Rachel and Zach, I thought this was very corny. When you look at a guy like Rodney McGruder, who was undrafted in 2013, who's been fighting his way, went down to the G League, and is still on the roster here today in the year 2021, a guy that has to fight every single offseason, going to training camp and prove himself. And we all know how hard it is just to get to the NBA. It's even harder to stay in the NBA. And they have a 15 or 14 guy on every roster that fights for their position and be that guy on the bench. All he was doing was standing up for his teammates. And I love Klay, but he didn't. I can't roll with him on this statement. That just wasn't right. And far as Draymond talking about a lot of tough guys in the league, I love Draymond, but he talked just as much as anybody. And nobody really is doing nothing outside of talking, because Draymond is not doing anything to nobody. When he sees somebody outside in the offseason, outside the court when the season is over, because I could recall the incident where Tristan Thompson had addressed him and he copped the plea. So at the end of the day, look, I don't agree with Klay's statement. I know it was good. It was funny at the time. But a guy like Rodney Magruder, who's actually fighting for his job year after year after year, and is still surviving in the league, they have a lot of guys that are on rosters like that. And I just can't roll with that state.
Well, I respect all of that, and I do think that's important. But also, this is an issue that Rodney Magruder came over. He went toward the Warriors tunnel. In fact, there were reports afterward that the league was going to look into that because it violates some of the protocols that they have set up. And we have a league where people are constantly saying, oh, I wish it had the toughness. I wish we had the toughness of the old days in the 90s and the NBA. I'm not sure that anything that was said on the broadcast or in the postgame press conference rises to the level of sort of the back and forths and the beefs and the stuff that we saw in the old school NBA. So I don't know. Sticks and stones on the words to me. And I mean, now we're going to watch the next Warriors-Pistons game whenever that happens, I guess, next season. So we'll have something to talk about. Here's what The Jump recommends for today. ESPN.com's latest power rankings are out, guys. There's a new number one, the LA Clippers. We'll talk about them next, so check those out. First, though, Black history is happening all the time. In honor of that, here's a look back at Texas Western 1966 national championship team, courtesy of the undefeated.
Lift every voice.
In the 1966 national championship game, Texas Western coach Don Haskins made history by fielding an all-black starting lineup versus an all-white Kentucky team. The Miners lineup led Texas Western to a national title, beating the Adolph Rupp coach team 72-65. That game inspired Southern college teams to recruit more black players.
All right, the latest ESPN NBA power rankings just dropped on the app. The Clippers are at the top, followed by the Lakers, Sixers, Jazz, and Nuggets. So, Perk, do you think these power rankings are accurate? Are the Clippers playing the best basketball in the league right now?
They are playing some of the best basketball, Rachel, but I still get a slight edge to Philly. But I tell you what, the Clippers are on a mission, and everyone, including myself, talked about how they didn't do well in the offseason. But guess what? Nicholas Batum has been an unsung hero. Mm-hmm. Paul George is playing some of the best basketball of his career. He's bounced back after the horrible postseason that he had. Kawhi's been Kawhi. Reggie Jackson has stepped up tremendously. And great job by Ty Lue, because these guys have bought in. They're sharing the ball. They're competing at a high level on the defensive end. And you can feel the energy. And most importantly, the thing that I've witnessed is Kawhi is starting to be more vocal. He's starting to be a better leader. I'm watching him interact with guys and talk with guys and trust guys. So the Clippers are dangerous. And guess what? If I'm the Lakers, I'm keeping a close eye on them, because they will possibly have to see them in the Western Conference, and it won't be a cakewalk, or the Clippers could possibly beat the Lakers if the Lakers are not careful.
Boy, oh boy, the Utah Jazz lose one game to the modern-day Arvydas Sabonis, and they're not even in the conversation for who's playing the best. The Jazz are playing the best basketball right now. They just had an 11-game winning streak. But in reality, Clippers, Lakers, Jazz,
wait a minute. Weren't the Jazz number two in those power rankings, Zach? How can you say they're not in the conversation? They were number two.
They were four. You're asking me who's playing the best right now? The team that just had an 11-game winning streak that blew everybody away.
But
the Clippers, are also The Clippers are also blowing people away. I mean, they killed the Kings twice. They killed the Pacers, the Magic. They are running roughshod over teams. And, yeah, they look every bit
the title contender that we thought they were. I picked them to win the title last year. I was wrong. I think this team has enormous potential, and Paul George is having his vengeance tour just like he said he would, and Kawhi looks like Kawhi. So the Clippers have to be really, really encouraged by how they're playing, how they've taken to some of the adjustments that Ty Lue has made to their style and their rotation. They look really, really good.
Well, look, I like what you said, Perk, about sharing the ball. Just from the eye test, watching the way mm-hmm. they play, those hockey assists, it's not just the passes that lead to the basket, but the passes that lead to the basket, to passes that lead to the basket.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Rachel, see, I love it when you give me this good gospel on Monday. I love it. See, when you talk about that eye test and not getting caught up in analytics, that lets me goes to know that you are sitting in front of your television and you actually watching the game.
You
and
know that's I am, Perk.
That's what basketball purists do.
Absolutely.
They sit down and they watch it with their eyes, Rachel.
Well, the eye test gives you all those hockey assists, but I will say if you dive into the analytics, you've got good numbers for the Clippers there too. Perk, Kawhi has the third highest player efficiency rating in the league this season. He's played in 17 of the Clippers' 21 games, which is also an important number, and he's averaging 34 minutes a game. So, Zach, what do you think has changed for Kawhi in his second season in L.A.?
Not that much. He's Kawhi Leonard. He's freaking amazing. He's amazing in L.A. He's amazing in Toronto. He's amazing in San Antonio. His stats look about the same. His defense is as ferocious as ever. The one thing that does jump out, though, and it's interesting to monitor, we saw that dunk on R.J. Barrett earlier. Kawhi is shooting 80% at the basket this season. He's usually in the mid-60s like most people are. He's now up in LeBron territory where you're like, oh, my God, he's dunking everything. He's finishing everything at the basket. Maybe it says he's healthier. Maybe it says he's feeling more pop in his legs. I don't know what it is. But if that keeps up, and the Clippers, by the way, you don't get to the rim much and you don't earn free throws, if they can get those numbers up, then they become a really scary team.
Absolutely. The thing that stands out to me the most about Kawhi, besides his leadership, is that he finally looks 100% healthy. He's playing back-to-backs. He's not taking any games off. He's driving, and he's driving to the basket with force, and he's elevating, and elevating above the rim, and he's looked like the Kawhi of old before the injury, and that's a beautiful thing to see. Right now, he's playing at an MVP-type level, too, along with Paul George, and this is the duo that we all been waiting to see, and they're playing at their peak right now and giving the Clippers something to be proud of.
It's going to be so interesting to watch. To me, just the fact that he's played in that first back-to-back and been more confident, Zach, as you say, with the way that he's just sort of moved on the court and some of the shots and dunks that he's making, you feel like he feels like he's healthier. We'll have to see as we go down to the wire here. All right, guys, up next, LaMelo Ball has had his best game of the season. That was Saturday and a win over the Bucks. So should he be starting, or is there a method to the madness here? Perk has a theory. It's crunch time here on The Jump. The Sixers beat the Pacers last night, guys, on the road without Joel Embiid, who was out due to a sore back. It was their first win without Embiid this season. So, Zach, what did that tell you about the Sixers?
You know what I like? 21 points for Ben Simmons on 9 of 12 shooting. Didn't look afraid to get to the foul line. That Ben Simmons, the one we've seen for the last 10 days or so since that fourth quarter against Boston, they get that guy and the Tobias Harris that's played this season plus Joel Embiid. They're a problem in the playoffs. They're a threat to win the East, and Ben Simmons is the litmus test.
Absolutely. And look, I was more impressed with their defense, the defensive side of things, and not just last night. But overall, Philly has been locked in, and they have a couple of wing defenders that don't get enough credit. Everybody praised Seth Curry for his scoring and shooting ability, but he's a pest on the defensive end. And we already know what Ben Simmons brings to the table, a guy that arguably could be the defensive player of the year. He is the anchor, but I just love how guys are buying into their roles. Doc Rivers has these guys being stars in their roles, and I love watching this 76er team play.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Perk. You really like the way the front office with Daryl Morey and Elton Brand has worked hand-in-hand with Doc Rivers to do two things, right? So they change personnel a bit to let the players that they have be featured more, have more space, more shooting around their two main guys. But then Doc has also, as you pointed out, he is getting the best out of everyone, right? Mm-hmm. He's getting the best out of Joel that we have ever seen. He has definitely told Ben, hey, you just have to be Ben Simmons. You don't have to be a three-point shooting machine. Just be be yourself, play your game. He's getting the best out of Tobias Harris again, which we saw here in L.A. And it's just fun to see guys succeed the way they can play instead of trying to be something they're not. So that's one of the things I like most about watching the Sixers right now. It's also been fun watching the New York Knicks, guys. And look, not everybody in the sort of reconfigured way they are approaching the game has been getting playing time, right? You know Tom Thibodeau. He plays his big guys big minutes. That doesn't leave minutes for some of the other guys. So Dennis Smith Jr. has asked to go down to the G League, where he will play down in the Orlando bubble with their affiliate. Smith, of course, one of the key pieces in the Porzingis trade back in 2019, just hasn't gotten the opportunity he wanted this season, and so he wants to play more often and keep his skills up. Kirk, what is your reaction to that?
Well, I actually love it. A smart move by Dennis Smith Jr. to make sure that he get his reps up, because he's not going to be able to get those type of reps up in practice. And for him not to put his pride aside and say, you know what, I'm going to go down to the G League to make sure I stay sharp. Also, go down to the G League to prove to other organizations that you still got it. It's still an audition, so that you're not just sitting on the bench for the New York Knicks so other teams can say, you know what, I might need a trade for this guy, and he can come over here and get minutes for us.
Yeah, I think it's great that the Knicks granted his request. And, you know, as Perk said, we're long past the point where there's something to be ashamed of going to the G League or something like that. I mean, good on Dennis Smith for saying, I want to play. The basketball is good. Yeah, I got to live in a bubble. That probably kind of stinks. But I want to see if my game's, you know, in condition to get ready for the NBA again. And there's only one way, in his opinion, he can do that, and that's to get in games. So good on everybody for making this work.
Perk, when you played with the G League team, how did you decide I'm comfortable with that? Because I still want to do more in the NBA.
Well, the thing is, one, you put your pride aside. I was a 13-year vet. But when you get down there, it's such a humbling feeling. And it makes you work hard because you're watching so many guys, Rachel, that I'm going to give you a quick story. We played in the Cavs arena. The Cavs were on the road, and we played the Chicago Bulls. And I remember us walking into the locker room, and my teammates were sitting up here really taking pictures and posting it on Instagram of LeBron James locker, Kevin Love locker. We got blown out, but just them being in the locker room, I saw the joy on them guys' faces. And I'm gonna tell you something. A lot of guys in the G League pass up six-figure jobs overseas just to get a 10-day. Mm-hmm. All they want is a jersey to say that, you know what, I made it to the league, whether it was for 1 month, and it was a humbling experience for me. When I got back to the NBA, I treasured everything from the training staff to the facilities to the private jets, the five-star hotels. I didn't take anything for granted. It was the best thing that happened for me in my career as far as playing basketball. Very humbling.
I love it, Perk. I love that attitude, and I think it's going to be real good for Dennis Smith Jr. too, so kudos to him for doing the mature thing. All right, let's get to LaMelo Ball, because he had a career-high 27 points to go along with 9 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, and an impressive win over the Bucks on Saturday. Perk, LaMelo Ball has come off the bench in all 20 of his games. Do you think it is time to start him, or do you like the way he's being managed?
No, he should have been started, Rachel. Look, this kid has superstar written all over him. And this wasn't the first time that he's come off the bench and have helped the Charlotte Hornets win the game. He's done it all season long. Don't hold him back. Give him the keys to the Benz. He's ready. He's a game changer. He's ready for the bright lights, and he will be a future superstar. Come on, coach. Give him the keys. He's passed the driver's ed test.
I actually kind of like Charlotte slow playing it here. I mean, part of the reason LaMelo Ball, and by the way, LaMelo Ball is so fun to watch. He is must-watch TV already. There are very few players that have his kind of creativity. He just plays at a different beat than everyone else. But one of the reasons he's been successful is he gets to play against opposing benches. Mm-hmm. He gets to play when the Hornets are playing small ball with P.J. Washington at center or Miles Bridges at center. There's more space on the floor. There's no need to rush this. And by the way, Devontae Graham, he wants to start. Terry Rozier, he wants to start. Gordon Hayward, he's damn well starting. So someone is going to have to take a tough demotion. We get fixated on these things. The bottom line is he's playing great. They're easing him in. He's finishing games when he's on a roll. That's just as important, if not more, than starting games. And this is all just a matter of time. If he keeps playing like this, they're going to edge him up, and he's going to supplant Devontae Graham in the starting lineup. It's just a matter of when. I can't get too worked up about, you know, that it's not happening right now.
No, I really like it, actually. I think it gives him a base layer of confidence. It kind of shows him how to move and do all of these things at an NBA level. And then, yes, of course, he will eventually move, but it's how you finish. It's not how you start, and he is finishing. All right, let's go to Diana Taurasi, because the GOAT is staying in town. She has agreed to return to the Phoenix Mercury on a multi-year deal. Zach, I know that you may be the world's biggest Diana Taurasi fan. How do you feel?
I can't even talk rationally about Diana Taurasi. We should probably just move on to Perk, because I can't talk rationally about Diana Taurasi. There are very few people now that I meet and I quiver in their very presence. And Diana Taurasi, the greatest of all time, one of the ultimate bad you-know-whats. I can't even talk about her. She's the best. She's the best to ever do it.
Is the best, and guess what? Must see TV. I mean, you know, just watching her play the game of basketball is just such a joy to watch, her competitive nature, her skill set. And look, I mean, her resume speaks for itself, GOAT status. So, you know, congratulations on the new deal.
Woo, deserves all the money and then some.
Yes.
All right, guys, time for our League Pass game of the night. Busy night in the association, 10 games. Our producers are not allowed to pick anything on national television, so they chose Hornets Heat. Jimmy Butler returned to the lineup for the first time in 3 weeks over the weekend. He dropped 30 in a win. The Heat are now 7-12, though. So, Zach, do you think Jimmy's return in general is going to help turn this season around for Miami? Because we're past the quarterway mark.
If it doesn't turn this season around, they got some serious problems. Yeah, so I think generally getting your best player back is going to help turn your season around. The Heat have plenty of time. Look, we knew the virus and the related contact tracing, it was going to torpedo a contender, whether it's Miami or Dallas, whoever you think it is. There was going to be a team that was just going to have the wind taken out of their sails. It's the Heat. And so now the Heat just have to fight for their season. They have to fight to get out of the play-in. They have to fight for a playoff seed that isn't such a huge disadvantage. But we know this team. We know they're going to fight. We know they're going to make a run and be patient and not really care all that much about who they play in the playoffs. But, yeah, it's time for them to start digging out of that hole.
Look, Butler is going to turn the Heat season around. His tenacity, he gives them swag. He gives the Miami Heat that drip, like the younger generation says. What he brings to the table for is his mindset. He gives guys like Tyler Hero confidence. Now Bam is not going to be on the island by himself, although he's been doing a great job for us trying to be a leader and uphold on the offensive end. Jimmy gives Tyler Hero, he gives Duncan Robinson. He gives those young guys that energy on the defensive end and offensive end, that confidence that they need. And he's the backbone. He's the guy that we witnessed go at the Lakers in the finals and talk his talk and say that it's not over with. That's giving the team confidence. So Jimmy returning to the Heat right now is crucial for the Miami Heat. And they're going to do good with him back in the lineup.
Now, Zach, we know that the Heat were holding open cap space for this coming offseason, maybe for Giannis. Of course, now Giannis is re-signed with Milwaukee. Do you expect them making any moves before the deadline?
They'll sniff around, sure. I mean, they were at the edges of other trade discussions, too. But I don't see any big moves for them. You know, if and when Brad Beal ever becomes available, they'll certainly be one of the teams that kicks the tires. I'm not sure they have the juice to get it done. Some of their picks are encumbered. They always look, and they always look at stars. So they'll never be out of those discussions.
Very interesting. Well, we will see how their season goes. Thank you to Zach. Thank you to Perk for joining me. We'll be back tomorrow because there's more basketball to be played, and we'll be talking about it. We'll be right back.